morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. TGIF, thanking God it's Friday. Trusting you're having a fantastic morning. Grab that second cup of coffee as we have a wonderful conversation this morning talking about protecting life. And I've got Terry here in the studio with me, and we're talking about birthright. But I want to go through a couple things that I want to share with you that have popped up in the headlines. And kind of a follow-up, months ago during the lockdown, we talked about and we talked with our friends at Enchanted Forest and the difficulty that they have had this year. Of course, they had put a lot of money into their facilities, getting it ready to open up in the spring. And then, of course, the pandemic happened, and they weren't able to open until midsummer, and then it was limited, right? They had to do reservations and things. And this theme park that has been in our community and really a tourist attraction, and I know I went to as a kid, and I would love to take my grandkids there when they come to visit, has been hindered by all kinds of regulations, even though it's an outdoor facility. Well, here's some good news, and this is in the Oregonian. Oregon's beloved fairy tale theme park says it will not have to close its doors. According to a post, they have raised enough money through GoFundMe, and they just announced this on Tuesday. They've had more than 6,500 people donate over $350,000. And because of that, and because of those donations, they're able to open again in the 2021 season. And again, it shows the power of you and I coming alongside these businesses and these theme parks and organizations that are trying to get through this pandemic season that we're in. And again, you know, it's the threat of the disease. You know, when the cure is worse than the threat of the disease, you know, we have some issues going on here in Oregon. Many businesses now, because of where we're at, we're on Friday. Yesterday, many businesses, bars and restaurants could open up outdoor dining in a limited capacity. And again, my heart goes out to these businesses because, you know, they still have to heat up their whole big building to cook the food or serve the drinks outside. And I don't even know if they're able to even meet their minimal costs. And it's something that's of concern. And again, even the original mandate and the lockdown clear back last March, you know, there's a lot of us that are questioning the constitutionality of it. And when we think about all of these efforts to go to protect from a small percentage of people that, yes, it's a real virus. And it does, for those that are most likely already dealing with health issues, it's a huge risk for them. If you're over the age of, 60, it increases. If you have health issues already, it increases all of those things. And we need to do our part to protect those individuals. But I'm concerned about the harm that it's doing to all the others, the rest, the business owners, the kids that can't go back to school. And that's been an ongoing conversation that we've had here in my show, and I know certainly in Jeff Kropp's show, as we Oregonians join together and do the best we can to get through this. And I don't know how many people have posted, I can't wait till 2021. And I even saw a funny post about, I bet you eat the black-eyed peas this year at New Year's, you know, and different things like that. But we really are doing the best we can to get through this. And one of the issues that I think is so important is that we do our part to protect life. And isn't it funny that it's my body, my choice when we talk about the issue of abortion? And that's been the message that's been grained into so many people's heads, that I'm not going to tell you what to do with your body. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you not to. I personally would never have an abortion, but I'm not going to tell you not to have an abortion. Well, friends, if you saw a friend walking into the street and there's a car coming at him, would you do everything you could to pull them out of the way and warn them that a car is coming and it could cause them harm? Certainly we would. And so I will even provoke it to say that when someone is considering abortion, it's like a car coming at them because, yeah, the relief of I don't have to worry about that anymore. There's some initial relief, but the long-term effects on that woman and the legacy for years and years and years, she'll be tortured. And I'm not just throwing that out there. This is the truth. And so we need to get behind organizations that are in the front lines, like Birthright and Pregnancy Help Centers, not only in our state, but around the country, because they're in the trenches. They're the unsung heroes. We don't know about them necessarily. They just keep doing it. And they have been affected by the pandemic. Their mode of operation has been affected. Their fundraising has been affected. And so I just like coming around like we did with Enchanted Forest and now they can go on another year. What can we do to help Birthright and make sure that they're funded well, they have the volunteers they need so that they can be in the trenches? Because guess what? They didn't stop having abortions in Marion County and in Oregon during the pandemic. Abortions still happen. In fact, I pulled up the statistics. The good news is not as many as last year. Now, I don't know if it's because people aren't as social and they're not going out as much. I don't know what the answer to that is. But pulling up the vital statistics of induced abortions for Oregon as of November 3rd, 2020, for the whole year so far, it's been 4,589. Friends, that's 4,589 lives gone by abortion. Last year through December 31st, 2019, let me pull up the statistics of what it was for 2019, and it was 8,688. So 8,688, and in Marion County last year, there was 701 lives lost to abortion. And so far through the month of September in Marion County, it's 360. So certainly the pandemic, and even though they're still having abortions here in Marion County, the number has reduced. There have been lives spared to abortion. We have not had the numbers, which is a good thing. And I also think the advocacy that's happening at Planned Parenthood and the awareness is building to protect life. And when we're working hard to protect life of those who are at risk of getting this virus, if we could take that same urgency to come alongside moms and dads who are experiencing unplanned pregnancies and say, hey, you can do this, and there are options. And so I'm so glad to have Terry here in the studio with me and what you're doing at Birthright. What is the mission of Birthright?
Well, the mission is to support a woman who is in a so-called crisis pregnancy center, pregnancy. We used to call them crisis pregnancy mm-hmm. centers when they were first started mm-hmm. in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to always introduce the word crisis,
right?
Because some women might look at that crisis pregnancy center word and think, "Ooh, I guess I'm in a crisis. I can't go there unless I'm in a crisis." And maybe she is, but maybe she just needs to have some other kind of support along the way. We kind of taken the word out and call it a pregnancy support service mm-hmm.
Or help center,
yep. Something like that. But that's our focus, is just to take everyone in whatever situation that they are and welcome her and listen to her story. And so that's our mission, is to just be accepting, loving, non-judgmental, and offering whatever services she needs.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think, what do you hear most often as to the reason why they don't think they can parent their child or make an adoption plan?
It's usually something like, it's not the right time, my plans will change, I'm going to school, I have to work. It could be financial, that they can't afford another baby. A lot of times it's just inconvenient. And sometimes it's a medical issue. There's a wide variety of reasons why someone might consider abortion. Often it's not the baby that is what's really happening in her life. The baby is not usually the problem. It's usually these other kinds of issues that she needs support with. She can work the baby I mean, she can have the baby and be able to get through, but she needs the hope. Mm. She really needs the hope. And I remember a girl one time who came in who said she had three children, and her husband said, if you have this fourth baby, I will leave you. Mm. And so that was her incentive to come in. She got the pregnancy test. She did not want the abortion, but she was afraid to be out on her own. Mm. And she was just that was her fear. And we talked a lot about her relationship and her whole situation and how bringing this baby into the world would affect that. But she still had that terrible fear that he would actually leave her. And she went to a clinic to get an abortion. She had an appointment. And as she was waiting, she thought about what we were saying. And she told them that she needed to get outside and smoke a cigarette, which she didn't smoke. But she left. She Good. Left the clinic. And she came back to the office. And she had that baby. Mm. And her husband did leave her. Hmm. He followed through on that. But she had, at that point, made up her mind that she was going to succeed, to be out on her own, the relationship was bad anyway. But she came back later with this child and said, this is the joy of my life. This baby is the joy of my life. I'm doing great. So sometimes those stumbling blocks that are there at the very beginning, they seem to be so insurmountable. But when you give someone hope and support and love and they know that you're there for them and you follow up with them, then she's going to get that support, that feeling that I can do this. And this girl did. And she was just so thrilled the way her life went.
That is incredible because, again, the statistics show that if you come alongside these women, the women that have testified to having an abortion loss in their life have said they felt like they didn't have a choice, that they didn't know what the resources were, they didn't have the support, that they had someone in their life telling them they had to do this. And interesting, the men that say you need to have an abortion, I would bet this gentleman with this wife and their fourth child, irregardless, you know, if she had it or didn't have it, he was probably going to leave, right? And devastated are the women who thought they were going to keep their man by having the abortion and they left anyway. And so statistics continue to show that if you bring the resource and bring the help to the women and show them how it's a win-win, whether they parent themselves or make an adoption plan, it's pretty incredible. And that's what it's all about, you know, is coming alongside people in their time of need and showing compassion and love, being non-judgmental, and giving them the resources and say, hey, you can do this. It's advocacy, it's help, it's bringing hope, and that's what it's all about, right? Absolutely. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, continuing the conversation this morning. Thank you for tuning in, and if you want to join in, maybe you have a personal story, we'd love to hear from you. 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Together on this Friday, so glad to be along with you. Want to say thanks to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. In fact, you can give them a call, 503-939-7099, if you're looking to get something bigger or something smaller. Perhaps you're looking to get out of that rental and into your own place. This is the time. And I know those interest rates are still pretty good right now. And so I'm encouraging you to give Dave a call, 503-939-7099. Continuing the conversation this morning with Terry as we're talking about Birthright and the pregnancy center services that they provide. If you know anybody that is facing an unplanned pregnancy, friends, maybe a neighbor, a coworker, friend, someone in your family, I encourage you to have them seek out help. And they can confirm the pregnancy test there. I'm guessing, it, Terry, it's like a self-pregnancy test, right? Is that how what you do there? They take the test there and then they...
Yes.
Yeah, it's like having a pregnancy test at home, but you've got support there while you get the answer, right?
Right. And we do the test without her just hovering over it.
Right.
Because we want to be visiting with her as another volunteer is doing the test. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, it's a medical quality test.
Right. And then you're there to support with the answers. And so they come in, they take the test, they find out kind of where she's at and what she's thinking if it is positive. And then you're there to support her based on what the results are. And if the results are negative, there's some coaching there too, you know?
Sure. Sometimes someone will come in and I've sat and we've visited and gotten to know each other a little bit. I've listened to her story and she's told me lots of things. And I remember one young girl who said, well, if it's positive, I'm going to do this and that, and I've got it all figured out. And then I went and got the results of the test, and it was positive. And she just stopped, and she just broke down and said, what am I going to do? So the actual getting the result, even if you've thought it through, you think, this is what I'll do if it's negative, this is what I'll do if it's positive. When the actual positive hits you, I mean, even as a mom myself, mm-hmm. I have 5 children, mm-hmm. and every time I found out I was pregnant, it hit me differently.
Right.
And it was a good thing, mm-hmm. but it was like, oh my goodness, it's a baby.
Right.
I'm going to have a baby. And certainly someone who's young and not quite prepared to be a mother, it hits them pretty hard sometimes. And so we're there to kind of cushion that and to be able to give that positive support right away.
Yes. And you have some great follow-up too, right? So you they're in the center and they have a positive test. And then a few months, you probably have their approximate due date, right? You touch base with them again. And what's their response with that?
Well, we certainly want to follow up and make sure that the medical needs are taken care of and that she was successful in getting a doctor, because some haven't worked that out yet. So we do follow up with that. Some girls have not told their parents if they're young. We want to follow up and make sure that she's getting that, all the support that she can from other places besides us. But we have kind of a schedule of calling. And it's so wonderful because they're surprised that someone cares enough that out of mm-hmm. the blue will call them and just check in and see how they're doing. They're not expecting that. But they're so grateful. They're just always saying, well, thank you so much for calling and caring. And that allows us to tell them that if they do find out the gender of the baby, that we have the layout for them to be sure and come back. And it gives us another opportunity to see them face to face. So sometimes it's before the baby's born and sometimes it's after. Usually it's before the baby's born. And then, of course, we always want to see that baby. So they're so happy to come back in and show us the baby. And we can just smother those babies with love. We love to see them.
Well, and it's such an opportunity to continue on the relationship and be supportive. And when you see children, it just brings a big smile on our face anyway. And they're legacies, you know, and building on legacies. And to think of the protection that we're giving these women by giving them all the information, they don't have to go through the loss of an abortion and what that does to them. It's traumatic, the side effects of that. And so standing in the gap, being there with them, advocating with them, it takes volunteers. It takes people willing to give of their time. About how long does someone volunteer? Is it a one day a week, however many hours at a time? What's your structure for volunteering?
Yes, our volunteers work with a 1 3-hour shift a week.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're open from 10 until 1.
Mm-hmm.
on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, mm-hmm. and from 10 until 4 on Wednesdays. Our Thursday volunteers, it was a COVID-related thing. Mm-hmm. Both of them are retired teachers, and one of them is taking care of grandchildren while mm-hmm. the parents work. And so we've had to close on Thursdays mm-hmm. for lack of volunteers. Mm-hmm. So we're really asking for help with getting more volunteers so we can open up more hours.
Excellent. And in your off hours, there's a 1-800 number where someone could call and
yes.
get assistance. When you're not open, they can call that number. What is that number?
The number is 1-800-550-4900. It's answered in Atlanta. They are fabulous people. I've been to the helpline office, and they are so committed. They're around the clock. All holidays are covered. And if someone in the Salem area calls, which they frequently do, mm-hmm. we get a notice about it, and we follow up with that call.
Fantastic. So
they even call us at home.
Oh,
they have our home number.
Okay.
So sometimes it's someone who, I had a call one time from someone who was at, this was before cell phones, but mm-hmm. they were at a phone booth in Salem needing a place to stay that night. And it was a Sunday. Mm. And I got a call from the helpline that said, here's the number of the phone booth. She's standing there waiting for you to call her.
Oh my.
And so we were able to get her help
and get
her a place to stay.
And that's the other thing that people don't understand is how well connected you are to the resources in the community to help them, whether it be housing or financial assistance and things like that. That's really how you can show them that they can do this, right?
Yes.
Yes. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit about some statistics and why it's important that we know what's going on here in Oregon so that maybe we can stir up and talk to our elected leaders to do something different at the State House to protect life, all life. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to
good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 8:35 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann. Warming up now to 30 degrees at the KSLM studio. Sunny sky today and 49 degrees. Going to be cool overnight, about 29 degrees overnight. So it'll be frosty in the morning, tomorrow morning when you get ready to go to work. And, I guess unless you work on Saturdays, we're already looking at the weekend, so maybe not. Maybe you could sleep in and the frost will be gone because it'll warm up to about 49 degrees and a little bit of rain expected for our Saturday. And then Sunday, a little warmer, 53 degrees. So it's kind of fun to look out a few days and find out what the weather forecast is. We're continuing the conversation this morning with Terry, and we're talking about birthright. We're talking about the choice of life and protecting life. And it's been an interesting conversation this morning. And again, I could talk about this. This could be pro-life radio every single day because this is where my heart is and how important it is to know and let you know, friends, how important you are. You know, when the Bible says in Psalm 139 that God created you and he knew you in your mother's womb, that's pretty significant to me that even before we were born, God knew us and had a design for our life and has a purpose for our life. And then when you think about Christmas and the season that we're in, and we think about Elizabeth and we think about Mary and the story of when Mary came across Elizabeth and John in Elizabeth's womb leapt when Mary was there with Jesus. I mean, there was a recognition even before those babies were born that there was something going on here. And to me, that's pretty significant. Life is precious. From conception to natural death, life needs to be protected. And we can do a lot here in Oregon. There is so much opportunity to stand and ask our elected leaders, where do you stand on this issue? And for me, when I look at voting for someone, Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Working Family Party, Libertarian, no matter where they are at on their party, I'll say, where are you at on the life issue? And the discussion will either continue or not based on how they answer that question. And what I love about having been part of South Dakota and living there, as we know, many of us are looking to Governor Noem for comparing her to our governor here, Governor Brown, and how she's standing for rights and liberty there in South Dakota. Well, there's been many, many years built on the life issue out of South Dakota. And in 2015, there was a concurrent resolution out of the State House to protect life. And it basically said, and it was presented to, and I had an opportunity to be a part of this team that presented it to the Supreme Court of the United States. And it says, the people of South Dakota and its elected officials have stayed true to its mission of protecting its people, but yet again find itself embroiled in litigation over its efforts to protect the rights of its pregnant mothers. Another challenge, this time to South Dakota's 2011 anti-coercion statute. And so what was happening is we had found out that at the point of scheduling an abortion in South Dakota, true informed consent was not happening. And so there was legislation developed clear back in 2005 to help when people were going to have an abortion, to help them understand that by having the abortion, you're terminating the life of a whole unique, living, separate human being. By having this abortion, you're going to increase your rates of ideas and thoughts of suicide. And by having this abortion, you're terminating your rights permanently to a relationship with this child. And it recognizes the humanity of this child, to which in 2005, Planned Parenthood found a judge there, the federal judge who was appointed by Clinton, that put an injunction and said, no, this law can't go forward. You're not going to tell the doctors and infringe on their free speech rights by telling them this religious ideology that life begins at conception, basically, right? Well, that has been battled in court now for several years, all these years later, still embroiled in courts, where two times now that federal judge's injunction has been reversed. And now it's a point of law. Out of South Dakota, for the first time, science, for the first time, it's not a blob of tissue. It's a whole unique, living, separate individual, which is amazing, out of South Dakota, in science and in the law books. Huge. And that there is increased risk of suicide, thoughts of suicide, and that it is severing that right of a relationship with a child. And here's really the heart of it. And we've talked about this, and this is a great document, and I'd love to order more. If you're interested in picking up one, you can email me, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. It's an awesome document laying down the arguments of why we need to eliminate abortion as a, they say, constitutional right. It is not. And so here in Oregon, so we compare South Dakota and all the work that they're doing there and how our whole nation is benefiting and all this legislation and stuff going on in all these different states, including Louisiana and Ohio with the heartbeat bill and all of these things, the personhood amendments and all of those things that are developing a lot of that based off of what's happened out of South Dakota. It's pretty cool. But here we are in Oregon, and we look at the reality of where we're at in Oregon. Here's the reality right now. If abortion is illegal nationally, and they reverse it, right, the Supreme Court decision of 1973, they reverse that decision, it's going to go back to the states. And our reality here in Oregon is there is zero protection. Abortion is entrenched in it's in who Oregon is. Same with euthanasia, by the way, with some of the laws that have been passed. So it's really important that we look at what we can do legally to stand beside our children and our unborn and the parents and help them. And Terry, when we talk about these things, talk about some of the challenges we have when it comes to abortion. I know you have some things written down there. I mean, do we have parental consent here in the state of Oregon? Let's talk about some of this.
Yes, unfortunately, we have no laws that limit anything regarding abortion. In Oregon, there's no waiting periods. There's no parental involvement for a young teenager or even a preteen. There's no parental involvement in making an abortion decision that's required. There's no limit on public funds, so... And there's no laws that limit how late abortions can be performed. Some of these are limitations that other states have tried to pass and have successfully passed, but they've never been passed in Oregon.
Why do you think that is?
I think it just goes back to some of the social things that are that we just say that there's that the person has all the rights to whatever they want to do with their body,
mm-hmm.
Without consideration for the baby. It's all about the mother. And, you know, at Birthright, we think we do want to focus on the mother, but
mm-hmm.
that's because that's how we can help the baby.
Mm-hmm.
We can focus on her, the beauty of her and
mm-hmm.
everything about her is what we do want to focus on. And that's how we can help the baby. But as far as the laws in Oregon, there just aren't any that protect the baby necessarily. And with we are able to help a mom get on Oregon Health Plan. We can give her the paperwork that
mm-hmm.
she needs to get help for her for prenatal care. But she could take that paper and use it to get an abortion.
Mm.
So we have to be very careful about we just tell her that our proof of pregnancy is just for prenatal care.
Yes.
And we won't give it to someone who's adamant about abortion.
Mm-hmm. And here's the interesting thing that I found out in testimony of women who had gone to Planned Parenthood thinking they were pregnant and then went and got a second opinion, and they actually didn't have a viable pregnancy. You know, maybe at the time that, you know, they tested positive and that they had, but it wasn't viable. And so some had testified to believing that perhaps they had an abortion on a baby that really wasn't even viable. So I know some clinics, some of the pregnancy help centers that have the ultrasounds and some of the medical staff now, they're more like medical clinics, but they're free. There's no cost, just like at Birthright, there's no cost to the client coming in. That, you know, they may not need an abortion because they might not have a viable pregnancy, you know. And so by getting the prenatal care and having that confirmation of a positive pregnancy test is what you're giving them.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on and get follow-up care from their medical doctor, you know, to see if they have a viable pregnancy. It's huge to have that intervention and that support early on. And most doctors, and I have my daughter's pregnant, just had her third, and my son and his wife are expecting their first, and my other son has a 2-year-old, so I've got my fifth grandchild on the way. But oftentimes doctors won't even see a woman in their pregnancy until about 12 weeks when they can get that first shot on the ultrasound, right, and make sure that there's a viable pregnancy, because between you know, by the time that the baby is, they know they're pregnant, right, and the time they see the doctor, there's a risk there of a miscarriage. And so most doctors, that's just part of their practice. Now, coming alongside these women in Oregon, It makes it even more important when there is no protections. And again, I talked about this last hour, that here in Oregon, they don't even recognize if a woman was harmed in a car accident or domestic violence, and she loses her baby, or maybe both of them pass away. Only the woman would be identified. The child is not identified as a human in law. Here in Oregon, there's no protection, and I think that's wrong, and I personally think that's a place we can start legislatively. We've got some more solutions when we come back, talking about protecting life and what we can do. If you want to join the conversation, you're certainly welcome. If you have a story to share, we'd love to hear it. 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. In the studio with me today, I have Terry with Birthright, We're having a great conversation about protecting life. And Terry, you know, when we talk about the statistics here, even in Marion County, we could look at the report here from the department or the health department, however, Oregon Health Department. It says in 2020, and this was just November 3rd is the date that this came out, says in Marion County, 360 lives lost to abortion. And the numbers are going down, I think, because of the pandemic. Perhaps people aren't socializing as much. I don't know. Maybe they don't even know that the clinic is open still, which I think it shouldn't be because I don't think it's essential, certainly. But this does not track, it's induced abortions. It does not track children that we have lost through chemical abortions. Let's talk a little bit. What's the difference if people don't know how abortions are done? It's very much like a, and if you've not had an opportunity to see the movie Unplanned, Abby Johnson, and I encourage you to get it or find it. I don't know if it's on Netflix or if you can, how you find it, but find the movie Unplanned and watch it. It's very powerful. It gives you an insight into how Planned Parenthood is run and what they say and how they trick women, like, you know, having this abortion today is the best thing you could do for your future family. That's the part that just gets me. It's like unbelievable. But having a chemical abortion is a little different. It's different than when they used to have abortions in the olden days. And when I say olden days, in the 70s and 80s, they used to do a saline-based abortion procedure where they would do a shot into the sac, if I remember right, and do a shot of saline. And it would cause horrible harm to the baby. In fact, I've had the privilege of meeting two or three individuals who survived an abortion attempt on their life. Melissa Oden is one of them. And fortunately for her, she's not had any real physical effects of that. But there's others that have, and they've testified in Congress, and they've had a lot of physical cerebral palsy, different things affecting them in their day-to-day life, but they have survived abortions. And then there are those who are born, babies that are born, and then they're just neglected and left. Because if you remember, even President Obama, when he was a senator in Illinois, there was the vote about when these babies are born, we need to give them attention if they're alive. And he voted against that idea. And this is a discussion that continues. But the chemical abortion, what does that mean when we hear the word chemical abortion? Terry, talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm not medically trained, mm-hmm. and Birthright doesn't do things in the medical field.
Sure.
But chemical abortions would be those that just don't allow the baby to be implanted,
mm-hmm.
Or they make the uterus inhospitable,
mm-hmm.
to support life. So it's just a very early pill that's given.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the details about it, really,
right.
But I just know that it's affected. I do believe that it's affected the numbers of women who've come in because they've been able, you can get it stuff over the counter. So,
mm-hmm. They call it abortifacients.
Yes.
And things
and the sad thing is that sometimes those girls that are taking these pills are not even pregnant,
mm.
but they're taking them as a precaution, a morning after pill type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be putting all these hormones in their bodies that are not even doing the job, so-called job,
mm-hmm.
To prevent a pregnancy because they weren't pregnant in the first place, but it's just taken out of fear.
Well, and some of the words and terminology, again, talking about messaging around this issue, you know, not only do they call it blob of tissue when a child is conceived and implanted, they call it a blob of tissue because in their mind it's not developed enough yet. But they also call it products of conception, which is so demeaning and dehumanizing and terrible. And so these abortifacients, what they do is in the biology of it, and again, I'm not a doctor either, but I've studied it enough, and it's all the materials out there. In fact, any intro to nursing or OB type manuals and texts will tell you this plainly, that, you know, it takes, in fact, how you even find out and do a pregnancy test. There's a couple different dates you can go by: the date that you think you conceived and the date of implantation, right? And when there's two different, what do they call that? The pregnancy, and I've been out of it long enough, but what's the terminology there? Do you remember? But anyway, there's usually a 2-week period there when they figure it from the last day of your, from the first day of your last menstrual cycle, you figure out the timing of it. It's kind of interesting.
Gestational,
mm-hmm. Yep. And so that's why you might see on pictures and things like 10 weeks or 12 weeks, you know, kind of a slash depending on how you're looking at it and all of that. So there's this time between conception and implantation. And so there's been a big debate, like, when is it a life? When is it a life?
You know? That's what doctors are now, to take care of that little so-called problem, they're saying that life begins at implantation.
Right.
But after conception, there's about a 6 to 7 day little, I call it a travel time, between when the sperm and the egg are joined to implantation. So mm-hmm. there's about a week there when all kinds of stuff's going on. Cell division and all of the genetics are there already.
It's just maturing. They just
get a little, mm-hmm. But that is... It's true that there are miscarriages at that time, mm-hmm. that there are not always successful mm-hmm. implantations, mm-hmm. but the baby is still conceived, and
yes.
that's when it starts to grow.
That's
and
exactly.
we show that to girls. I have a little timeline, and mm-hmm. I go through that with them, and I say, well, this is when conception happens, and this is when the baby starts to grow,
mm-hmm.
and then implantation happens, and that's when the hormone is that we can test
yes.
is at implantation. So doctors are saying that now, this is when life starts as implantation, and it's not
crazy,
true.
And it's not scientific, and it's what we're dealing with and battling right now, up close and personal, right? And we're standing in the trenches supporting you, and thank you for your work that you do, by the way, at Birthright. And how can people call you and get involved, volunteer, donate? What's the phone number again locally?
The phone number is 503-585-2273, and we'd love to hear from anyone who'd like to support. We can talk to you about different ways that we need some help.
All right. And the national number, if someone, you know, someone that needs support, if they can't get a hold of the local center, where do they call?
The helpline is 1-800-550-4900.
And I'm so glad to meet you, Terry, and I'm looking forward to collaborating and finding ways that we can continue to support you and your organization here in Salem as we move forward. Thank you for being here this morning.
It's been a delight. Thank you for having me.
Continuing on today, wherever you go, my friend, thank you for tuning in. And I want to say, if you have a nonprofit organization that you would like to nominate to be featured here on my morning show, I'd love to do it. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, @KSLM.news. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what we're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a fantastic Friday and a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.